Welcome to the Alt Essentials podcast. This is the bonus episode of Tori Amos, and on this episode we are doing Tori Amos cover songs. I'm your host Brian, but I'm going by Bricycle.
And I'm Tiffany. I am Tiff in your hand. Okay, we made a separate list of songs, and we made a bonus episode of cover songs because we didn't want to waste any of our slots. So we made a bonus episode for all of you to enjoy.
So opening the episode, that was Tori's cover of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, which was the opening track from their classic 1991 album Nevermind. It appears on the Crucify EP, which was released May 12th, 1992. When Tori first heard the song on the radio, the piano beckoned her to cover the song.
I was in Sweden the first time I heard that song, and it had just been released in the States. And I was hanging out in my room watching, I don't know, one of those MTV things where they do noisy things. And I like noisy, just sometimes noisy doesn't always mean hardcore. So I was watching this noisy thing and I was kind of laughing. All of a sudden this thing comes on and I stopped laughing. And I just sat there with my jaw on the floor. And the piano kind of whispered to me from the bathroom going, we have to do this because... You know, sometimes the piano will just look at me and give me messages going, can we stop this minuet stuff and can I get off? So that's what she said to me and we did it.
I remember the first time I heard that song.
I know, you told it in the other episodes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Anyway, on Under the Pink Tour, she would play it starting with the first verse of Don McLean's American Pie. And then she segged right into Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I'm going to read a quote from the Illinois Entertainer. This was from August 1994. And Tori said, I did a tribute to Kurt Cobain with Teen Spirit and American Pie this night in Dublin because American Pie is what I heard over and over in my head the night he killed himself. I played it to 2,500 kids. It started like a whisper and then in perfect pitch, in perfect rhythm, very softly, they all sang American Pie with me. None of us in the crew had ever experienced anything like it. I felt like I knew him. I miss him as a musician. It's just painful when you see someone who had so much to give, especially musically, gone. We've lost quite a significant voice for this generation. So, Tiff in your hand, do you remember when we went to the Under the Pink concert?
I do. It was at Cottonwood High School.
Yeah.
And I remember, well, first of all, me and you didn't sit together, which was not good.
Yeah, we waited too long to get our tickets.
So that kind of sucked. But anyway, other than that, Tori did American Pie and Smells Like Teen Spirit together, and I swear it was just so ethereal. I mean, it gave me goosebumps, and I just cried and cried. And I swear there was not a dry eye in the entire house. I mean, it just was like, it just was so quiet. And
yeah, it was a haunting performance.
It was just amazing.
And a great tribute to him, for sure.
Uh-huh, it was.
So this song didn't make either of our lists, like we talked about it before. So we had to represent it somehow. So that's why it opened the episode.
Right.
So Tori is well known for her cover songs, and she's covered a plethora of artists, including, here, we're going to read a list of them, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, Elton John, David Bowie, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, Tom Waits, John Lennon, Carly Simon, Neil Young, Steely Dan, Fleetwood Mac,
Prince, Madonna, George Michael, The Police, Nirvana, Nine Inch Nails, Slayer, Bjork, Depeche Mode, The Cure, Kate Bush, Bronski Beat, Oasis, Radiohead, REM, Eminem, Fleetwood Mac, Bruce Springsteen,
Chaz and Dave. the Sandwich Song, that's what I like, Mick, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And London Girls. Yeah.
Give me a London girl every time. I've got to find one I've made up my mind. Give me a London girl every time. I want a London girl.
Oh, I remember those songs. U2 and Heart.
Yeah, so a long list of artists that she's covered. So Tori also did a full covers album called Strange Little Girls back in 2001. And that featured a female take on male songwriter songs. Each song had its own character, and Tori dressed up like the 12 different women.
And for the Strange Little tour book, Neil Gaiman wrote stories about the 12 different women.
Yeah, so Tori's been playing with gender roles ever since her cover of the Rolling Stones' Angie back in 1992. And we just heard a little bit of London Girls, that's another one. Strange Little Girls was the first album to not feature Steve Caton on guitar. Instead, Tori used King Crimson guitarist Adrian Belew. And very much like Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, who occasionally uses Adrian on his albums. So there's another Trent-Tori connection that you can add to the list. So Adrian stated that working on Tori's album, he discovered new methods of working and playing the guitar. Do you remember hearing that?
I do.
Yeah, it was in some
Spin magazine article.
Yeah, in something. I don't know. I didn't
Rolling Stone.
I didn't look it up.
But Steve Caton seems like it was her favorite.
Yeah, I liked Steve Caton the best out of her guitarists. But, I mean, I thought Adrian Belew did a good job on that album, too.
Yeah, he did do a good job. Steve Caton did good live, though.
Yeah. And they had a falling out, like, after the To Venus and Back, like, that tour.
Yeah, let's see.
Something happened between them. There's like a fan rumor that Steve blamed Tori that he wasn't a big star because he wasted his time with her or something.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And they're saying that Not David Bowie was written about Caton.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, well, I did.
Well, you heard a lot more than I did then.
So when Caton left, he did his own project called Binge. And it was kind of an industrial project, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard it, but... And then also he played guitar on some of Lisa Marie Presley's albums, which were produced by Eric Ross, or Rossi. So for our list this time, we've chosen our 6 favorite Tori cover songs, and both of us made our own lists, so hopefully we won't have any duplicates. And do you think we will?
I hope not.
I know.
Mine are good. I have good ones.
So do I. So I'm going to start off the list.
And what is it?
So my number 6 song is...
Yeah?
Karma Police.
Oh, all right. That's
Do you have that
one.
On your list?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So it was originally from the album OK Computer by Radiohead.
Oh, that's a good album.
And the second single released from that album on August
25th, 1997. Tom York. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So I was dying that Tori covered Radiohead since I'm a huge Radiohead fan, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And... So it was heaven having Tori mixed with Radiohead.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that guy Johnny that plays the guitar in that one?
Johnny Greenwood, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Greenwood.
So this was performed August 28th, 2005, during the Summer of Sin tour in Rochester Hills, Michigan. She played it during the request section of the show.
We went to that tour, didn't we?
Yeah.
Damn, she didn't play it for us.
Nope. We got Bjork, though, remember?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Hyperballad.
Hyperballad.
Okay, so it's funny, at the beginning of this song, you can hear one fan freak out when they realize it's Radiohead, mm-hmm. and then there's some other girl that's like, settle down! And then eventually the audience recognizes what she's singing, and then they all, like, freak out and clap, you know? It's funny. It was a pretty big deal for her to cover Radiohead, in my opinion. So I would have done the same thing as that fan. I would have been freaking out before everybody else.
Huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, so here is my number 6 song, Karma Police.
Who is this man? He took
was Tori covering Radiohead with Karma Police. So now we're moving on to Tiff in Your Hands, number 6 song. So what is it?
Okay, now this one, it's Tori on a switch of gender song again.
Switch of what?
A switch of gender
song
again. Yeah. And you've done a podcast of this group already. So you might know it.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Is it The Cure?
It is. Anyway, yeah, it's a love song by The Cure.
I thought about putting this on my list.
Really? Yeah, it's a good one. Well, this one, it reminds me of high school.
Yeah.
And in high school, you know how there's lots of different groups. There's the jocks, there's the waivers, there's the cowboys.
There's the goths.
There's the goths. And I was, of course, one of the goths. And they called us the rejected. And I was, you know, white face, all black, black hair, black fingernails. I was one of them.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of back in those days. And it reminds me of being in love with someone who doesn't love you back. It's a sad, sad song for me. But it is kind of a good song, though, because it reminds me of being with my friend Melanie and Ryan driving around in the summer. And just, I don't know, I worked at Pizza Hut this one summer, and I had a Nissan Pulsar.
Yeah, but I almost wrecked it.
Oh, yeah, when we went down to St. George to go to the Shakespeare Festival.
And I almost, well, we hydroplaned, and I almost wrecked her car.
Yeah, and we drove back, and the steering wheel just kept shaking all the way back.
Yeah, the alignment was totally off.
So. Yeah, the alignment was off, and it was kind of scary.
It was our near-death experience.
But we lived through it.
Yeah.
But, I worked at Pizza Hut this one summer, and so we had money, so on my days off and when I wasn't working, we'd just drive around, and we'd go to, like, at all the Subways in Utah and get club sandwiches, or we just go to everybody's house. And this one time we were driving around and we saw these three people walk in and they looked modern. And we're like, hey, let's stop and give them a ride. Mm-hmm. And so we pulled over and asked them, can we give you a ride, you know? And they looked at us kind of weird and we're like, yeah, let's give you a ride. You need to ride some more. And they said, yeah. And so we gave him a ride, and we met Wyatt, Kara, and Faith, and we became friends, and so we started doing stuff with him, and we just all hung out together, and come to find out, we used to go to the Ritz together, and the Ritz was a nightclub that everybody went to and hung out at.
For all the cool underage kids.
Yeah.
All the goth and new wavers, yeah.
Yeah, and we just all hang out there, and it just was really cool, and they'd play really good music there, and it was just a lot of fun. So this song just brings back a lot of good memories. It's just great.
Yeah. This Cure song, it's been covered by Adele, 311, and many other artists. And if you like The Cure, you can always go back and listen to those three Cure podcasts, which is episodes 1, 2, and 3. And those are counting down the top 30 Cure songs. And I think, didn't Tori do this song on harmonium, her pump organ?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she had, for the Boys for Paley tour, she had her pump organ that she pumped the pedals with her feet to push air into it.
Yes.
And she did Love Song.
Yes. But she also did it with her a little electric organ, too, because she did that one in a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But the pump organ was much better.
So this was the second single from The Cure's 1989 album, Disintegration. And Tori performed it at K-Rock in Los Angeles in January of 1993. Okay, so here is Tiff in Your Hands, number 6 song, Love Song.
By The Cure.
But it's by Tori.
Right now.
Number 6.
So that was Love Song, written by The Cure.
And so Tori just played that, and that's a beautiful song. And so for your number five, what is it?
My number five is If Six Was Nine.
Oh, man.
Is that on your list?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, no.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
What number is it on your list?
It's number three on my honorable mentions.
Oh, that's good. So yeah. I didn't knock it out of your list then.
No, you didn't.
Okay. If Six Was Nine was originally from the 1968 album Axis, Bold as Love by Jimi Hendrix Experience. This appears on the UK Cornflake Girl single Part 2. And that single was very hard to find for the longest time, remember?
Oh, yeah, we had to go
I think I got it on eBay.
Yeah.
But with this song, I loved how experimental that Tori was being. She ran her piano through a Marshall guitar amp, and she was, like, playing the piano like a guitar. And she only really did that again with the song Beauty Queen Horses when she ran the piano through a Leslie cabinet. Remember, it was like outside in a graveyard
mm-hmm.
at the church in Delgany.
Yep.
When she recorded that song.
Yeah, I remember that.
I always think of this song when I hear Northern Lad because of the lyric, I guess you go too far when pianos try to be guitars.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, the ending is just so pretty when she's playing it softly and singing, What Child Is This? It kind of reminds me of Snowflakes Falling.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's weird, but do you have anything to say about this song?
Just kind of sounds a little rockin' to me, but that's Tori for you. She mm-hmm. does a lot of experimental things, and that's what keeps her going and her fans loving her even more and more.
Yeah, I wish she would do more stuff like this.
More. I wish she would do more industrial stuff like Choir Girl Hotel. Yeah. I like that kind of Tori. But I mean, I love her Unplugged with Tori and the piano, but from the Choir Girl Hotel stuff, wish she would do more stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, this is If Six Was Nine.
Number five.
If the sun refused to shine, I don't know how. I don't mind. If the mountains fell in a sea, let it be. It ain't me. Got my own world to live through. I ain't gonna come near you. A six turned out to be nine. Well, I don't mind. I don't mind. If the hippies cut off their hair, well, I don't care. Hey, well, I don't care. I've got my own world to live through. If the sun refused to shine,
does sound like snowflakes. I never realized that before.
Sort of.
Kinda, yeah.
Okay, what is your number 5?
Okay, you're never gonna guess this one.
It better not be mine.
Okay, I don't think so.
What is it?
Okay, it's really, really old. It's before my mom and dad were born.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like a gay anthem, too.
Oh, I think I know what it is now. What is it?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
That's what I get. I was thinking.
Has lots of munchkins in it.
Uh-oh, I think this is on my list. It is. It's on my honorable... It's number 2 on my honorable mentions.
Oh, okay. That's good then.
Yeah, at least you didn't knock it off my top 6.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is from the 1939 film Wizard of Oz. This is performed by Judy Garland. This version is taken from the Hey Jupiter EP released August 20th, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I remember seeing Wizard of Oz every year on TV when I was younger. And I remember when they finally did it in Technicolor, and I thought it was just mm-hmm. the cat's meow. I thought it was just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, seeing those ruby red slippers just sparkle, I thought it was so cool, and I wanted my mom to go out and buy me a pair.
Yeah.
But of course she didn't, because my mom's a bitch. But anyway, that's enough about my mom. That's just her.
Yeah.
But anyway, it reminds me of my kids, because they used to watch that when they were little.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through a really bad divorce, and unfortunately, my ex-husband has my kids, and that's part of the reason why my mom's a bitch. And you know how she clicks her heels when she's in...
There's no place like home.
Wonderland, yeah.
There's no place like home.
No place like home. Yeah. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And I just think that one day I might be reunited with them. And then we all can be together and be at home together once again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just reminds me of that. And I just, you know, kind of cry a little bit when I hear that song. It just reminds me of being with my kids.
Yeah.
So, I love that song, and then, plus it's the gay anthem, and I have a lot of gay friends, and I'm pro-gay, and I'm glad that the same-sex marriage is on the ballot. Yay, finally.
In Utah, where
in
we
Utah,
are.
So the church can just go flush itself down the toilet. And you can quote me on that one. Oh, no, I'm going to get struck down. Oh, no, no, please don't lightning strike me twice. But anyway, that's just how I feel. So I'm glad about that. Okay, I just wanted to say this is my own opinion, to each his own. So you can just think however everybody else wants to think. That's what I think. Okay, I'm all done ranting and raving now, but please enjoy the song.
Here's Tiff in Your Hands' number 5 song. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or sometimes called Over the Rainbow.
Number 5.
Soon we'll over the rainbow. Way up high. There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. One, two.
wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops way above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Soon we're over the rainbow, blue birds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Why, oh,
that was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I'm sure she performed this song many, many times while being a lounge singer, especially in the gay bars, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Since Judy Garland is a gay icon.
Yeah.
And Judy G is also mentioned in the song, not the Red Baron.
That's a good song. I remember that's one of your favorite songs, so maybe that's why it was on your list.
Yep, it was high on my list.
Yeah.
And I tried to get my old boyfriend, Sean, into Tori by playing him this version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Did it work?
A little bit. He's more stereotypical in that he loves musicals and, you know, stereotypical gay music. He did like her version, but he never really got into Tori very much. Mm. He's more into the Wicked soundtrack.
Ouchie.
No, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that love that too.
Yeah.
So no offense to you guys. So moving on to my number four song. It was originally by Tom Waits from his 1985 album Rain Dogs. It was covered by Tori on the 2001 album Strange Little Girls, and the song is Time.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yep. So Tori was in New York on 9/11 when that all went down.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being the first musical guest on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Actually, she played that song and David Letterman looked like he had a tear in his eye when after he played that song.
Yeah, so it was the first Letterman show after the attacks happened on the World Trade Center. And Tori's rendition was very healing for the country to hear at that time. It was like the perfect song for that moment, don't you agree?
Yeah, even didn't you say that your sisters watched it? And
yeah, my sister Marcy, she even saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And commented to me afterwards, and she wanted a copy of the song, and she's not even a Tori fan. So, and David Letterman was totally choked up. He could barely even finish the broadcast. So look for that on YouTube, people. The lyrical imagery of this song really fit too, especially the lyric, "It's raining hammers, it's raining nails." And then there's mentions of orphans. And the lyric, "She said she'd stick around until the bandages came off." And "History puts a saint in every dream." So it just had a lot of imagery that you could relate to 9/11. It's probably best that she left the final verse of the song out of it, since it has the line, "The boys just dive right off the cars and splash into the street."
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would not have been a good verse to say on TV.
No, not after people were jumping
out of the buildings.
So I really think that her performance on Letterman was historically important mm-hmm. for the country.
I agree.
For those that watched it. And
jeez, you're making me all teary-eyed. What the hell's going on?
Well, it was a sad day. Okay, so in the Strange Little Tour program, here is Neil Gaiman's story about the song Time, or the woman Time. She is not waiting, not quite. It is more that the years mean nothing to her anymore, that the dreams and the street cannot touch her. She remains on the edges of time, implacable, unhurt, beyond, and one day you will open your eyes and see her, and after that, the dark. It is not a reaping. Instead, she will pluck you gently, like a feather or a flower for her hair. Cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Neil.
Good imagery.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add?
Mm-mm.
So here is Time, originally by Tom Waits.
The smart money's on hollow, and the moon is in the street, and the shadow boys are breaking all the laws. You're east of East St. Louis, and the wind is making speeches, and the rain sounds like a round of applause. And Napoleon is weeping in a carnival saloon. His invisible fiance's in the mirror. The band is going home. It's raining hammers, it's raining nails. And it's true, there's nothing left for him. And it's time, time, time. And it's time, time, time. And it's time, time, time that you love. And it's time, time, time. Well, they all pretend they're orphans, and their memory's like a train. You can see it getting smaller as it pulls away. The things you can't remember tell the things you can forget. That history puts a saint in every dream. Well, she said she'd stick around until the bandages came off. But these mama boys just don't know when to quit. Matilda asked the sailors, all those dreams or all those breaths. So close your eyes, son, this won't hurt her. And it's time, time, time. And it's time, time, time. And it's time, time, time that you love. And it's time, time, time.
Yeah, those lyrics, it's time, time, time for you to love. That was perfect for 9/11.
Time that you love.
Time that you love. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you ready for the next one?
We're to your number 4 song, huh?
Yeah, my number 4. This one's a fun one, but it's sad. Can you guess?
No.
No? Okay. It's Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
Prince.
Yeah. Mr. Funkmaster himself.
It's not on my list.
It's not. Ooh, that's no. good.
No, I kind of thought you would have this one, though.
Of course I would have Prince. I love Prince. Yeah, this one's kind of sad, though. It has really good memories, but it's sad. So Purple Rain is from the soundtrack album Purple Rain and was released as the third single on September 26, 1984.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. But this song reminds me of us going to Las Vegas. So me, you, Julie, Brennan Becky. Brennan Becky's married for the 5.5 weeks tour that she did with Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
She only stopped at, you know, a couple different places because it was just 5.5 weeks.
Yeah, we had to travel for that one.
Yeah, so we took a road trip to Vegas because we're Tori fanatics. We saw her in, what, 15 shows?
Yeah, and remember we tried...
Something like that.
We listened to The Fragile.
Oh, yeah.
Nine Inch Nails on the way down.
Uh-huh.
And Tori.
And Tori. And we tried to go to every single meet and greet, but that's kind of hard. But we tried. But when we were there, it was really good. We saw... we had really good seats. They were off to the side. And we got to see Ellen DeGeneres and Anne Heche. They were there. Heche. How do you say it?
Heche? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we saw them. They were just walking. I forget, though. Was it after Alanis?
No, it was during Tori.
During Tori?
It was during Tori. They were on the side.
Yeah, they were walking back. No, I swear.
No, they were on the side and they were like clapping.
Oh, but
they
then
were down in front of us.
But then we saw them go backstage.
Yeah, we saw them yelled at them. And they like looked at us and waved. Yeah, because we had the seats that were over where you could see them walk by. We had really good seats.
We were like Ellen and Anne.
That was really good. So anyway, so we had these really good seats, and so we were able to see people, you know, come and go. And we were able to see Tori come out, and she did her stretches. And we got to see her do her little sage ritual before she went out on stage.
Yeah. Well, we went to the edge of, like, where the... How would you describe it?
Where the balcony was,
where the bleachers end or whatever. And looking over where the side of the stage. And Tori was down there stretching with... Joel was there, standing there.
And Joel is the security guard, otherwise known as Agent Orange, which she probably, we're assuming, she wrote that song about.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Boys for Pele.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Joel was walking by, and I asked him, do you want some gum? And he was looking at me weird. I'm like, do you want some gum? And so I don't know if he heard me or not, but the next thing I know, he ran up the stairs of the bleachers that were in front of us, and he like was beckoning to us because we were all sitting there, and I don't know if it was my sister or Bicycle, but he's like, come here. And I was so scared that he was going to throw us out of the concert that I didn't come, and he like sat there for a couple seconds going, come here. And then finally he just like waved his hand like, yeah, whatever. And then he went back. And so now I totally regret to this day. I'm like, damn it. I shouldn't have went. So
yeah,
we didn't know what he wanted.
We were so scared because we had kind of interrupted Tori's pre-stage ritual by looking over at her. And like, I forget who said what down to her. Probably like, we love you, Tori, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought we were in trouble with Joel. We were going to get kicked out of the show.
So we never went down. But the show was great. I mean, Tori did really good songs, and it was amazing. But then after the show, oh, my God, I tell you, my sister, oh, she's flipping bipolar, psychotic, crazy. Something ticked her off, or I don't know, or we said the wrong thing.
I think we were walking wrong, weren't we? Like,
somebody walked by Becky or told Becky something or said something wrong. I don't know what happened, but she ran off into a casino and it was virtually impossible to find her. So Brynn and Becky and Bryskel and I just, we went back to the hotel and we're like, you know, she's over 21. She can find herself the way back to the hotel. And just, we were washing our hands of it because she just is just bipolar, just, she's crazy. Psycho. I don't know how to explain it. Just is like just the wall.
It was irrational behavior.
She needs medicine. She's crazy. I mean, still to this day, she just, I don't even know how to explain it. Oh, she's just single white female. I don't know. She's just crazy. That's how you describe it. And Briley and I were talking on the bed and, you know, we were just fine. But then finally she came in the hotel like 3:30 in the morning and we asked her where she went and she wouldn't tell us and she went to sleep. And it was like walking on eggshells around her. It was horrible. But anyway, so we went on the ride home and everything was fine. And it just, anyway, so she got pregnant. And Brynn and Becky, Brynn told her that she should give her baby up for adoption, or did she tell her to get an abortion, or was it adoption?
Adoption.
That she should give her baby up for adoption. And she got mad. And so Briley and I and Julie were all living together because I had the two kids, Vanessa and Vittorio, which I named Vittorio after a vampire that Anne Rice wrote a book, Vittorio the Vampire. Mm-hmm. And it's also Italian for Victor, because I'm Italian.
Vito.
Yeah, gang member Vito.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she used to watch the kids, so that's why we're all living together. And she just got upset, did not want us hanging out with Brynn and Becky, couldn't say anything about him, nothing, like walking on eggshells. Anyway, so we didn't see him, talk to him, hear him, nothing, because it was like walking on eggshells. She'd throw a fit, she'd want to hang herself, kill herself, commit suicide, threaten suicide, had to have the cops over a couple different times. It was just horrible. So for some reason, one day, Bryskel was just looking in the obituaries, and he saw Brynn's obituary in the paper.
Mm-hmm. I was at work.
And he was at work, and he just saw his obituary, and he just was freaking out. It was just, like, the weirdest thing that he never looks at the paper, and he never looks at the obituary, and he just had this feeling just to look in the obituaries. And Brynn just took his own life. And it's just the saddest thing. So every time I hear Prince, it always reminds me of Brynn and Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky and I are still friends. I mean, everybody loves each other. Bryskel loves Becky. Becky loves him. We love Becky. Yeah. She's a really good friend. Becky just married her girlfriend.
Yes.
She's in a good committed relationship now.
Congratulations, Becky and Emily.
Yeah, congratulations.
We're excited you were able to get married in Utah.
I know, Utah of all places, yeah. But so, like, anytime I listen to Prince, it's just, like, really good. But I still am really sad over Brynn, and I just hate that we just couldn't be friends with him before his passing just because we had to walk over eggshells with my sister. It's a big regret that
happened. Yeah, mine too. Mine too.
Yeah, so anyway.
So this is for Brynn.
This is for you, Brynn, wherever you are.
It's Purple Rain.
Number four.
Thank you.
So that was Purple Rain, and that's found on the Tori Stories 1994 box set. It was recorded live September 15th, 1994 in Bellingham, Washington. And the ending part of this song, it's very similar to and probably inspired parts of Hey Jupiter, especially the Dakota version. Do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah, it sounds similar to that. Tori also mentions the Prince song When Doves Cry in the Scarlet's Walk album track Wednesday with the lyric, "Pluck up the courage and snap, it's gone again. I start humming When Doves Cry." So Tori's a big Prince fan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Tori saying that she only plays this song for the audiences that she really loves. She played it for our show to end the show of our on the Under the Pink tour. Do you remember?
I do remember that.
You don't agree that she said that?
No, I do agree she said that.
Okay.
Okay, so we just did my number four, so that means we're on number three. So it's Bricycle's turn. What is your number three?
So my number three was originally from the 1971 Leonard Cohen album, Songs of Love and Hate, and its famous Blue Raincoat.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, I love this song. Tori covered this song for the Tower of Song compilation, which was a tribute album to Leonard Cohen. And she appeared on there alongside acts such as U2 and Martin Gore of Depeche Mode.
Yeah, and Martin did the song Coming Back to You.
That's right. His version was good too.
Yeah, it was.
So Leonard Cohen is one of Tori's big influences. She also covered his song Suzanne live.
Mm.
And this song is about a love triangle between a woman named Jane and two other men. And also in Tori's song, Me and You, from the Hand of Fate soundtrack, it references this song with the lyric, "Ride in circles with you. I got my famous raincoat that I borrowed torn with blue."
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yep, it does. It references this song.
Wow.
So this song's been covered by a million people, but Tori's version is the best, in my opinion. And I love her piano break instrumental midsection part.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Isn't there an official live version of the song?
Yep, there's one found on the Concertina CD single and Glory of the 80s CD single part one, I believe.
Oh.
But I'm going to play the studio version.
Okay.
So here it is.
All right.
Number three.
She came back. She was nobody's wife. Well, I see you there with a rose in your teeth. One more thing, gypsy thief. I see Jane's away. She sends her regards. You're
is free will. Thanks for the trouble you took from her eyes. I thought it was there for good, so I never tried.
And that was my friend Melanie's favorite Tori song, sung by Leonard Cohen.
And I forgot to say that Tower of Song, that was released in 1995. Okay, so we're on to your number three, Tiff in Your Hand.
Okay, so this one is a good one. I love this one. Okay, so my number three is in a movie soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any movie soundtracks on yours?
No.
Good. Okay, so mine is Murder, He Says. It was originally from the 1943 version, film version, Happy Go Lucky, performed by Betty Hutton. Tori's version is from the 2003 Julia Roberts film, Mona Lisa Smile. This reminds me of how my grandma and grandpa were elderly people, and how they used to be so carefree in their lives. Like nothing was really going wrong and everything was just so good and happy in the world. Tori was actually singing the song in a wedding scene in the movie.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, it was a big band movie, so she was in front of a big band.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised this one's on your list.
Why is that?
I don't know. I guess I knew that you liked them.
No, I love this song. It just was like a throwback.
Yeah.
To the 40s. It's just kind of cool. Cool little ditty.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to say about this one.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to say, just that it reminds me of my grandma and grandpa.
And a time long gone by.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, here is Tiff in Your Hands, number three.
Murder, He Says.
Number three.
Finally found a fella, almost completely divine, but his vocabulary is killing this romance of mine. We get into an intimate situation, and then begins this character's conversation. He says murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says murder, he says. At a time like this, he says murder, he says. Is that the language of love? He says solid, he says. Takes me in his arms and says solid, he says. Meaning all my charms, he says solid, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, check, check, you torture me, zinc. Oh, we live and I'm thinking of leaving him flat. He says, dig, dig, the jumps the old ticker is given. He can talk plainer than that. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. Keep it up like this and that, murder, he says. In that impossible joke, we'll bring on nobody's murder but his own.
was Murder, He Says, from the Mona Lisa Smile soundtrack.
Okay, so now we are on our number two cover songs. So number two, what is yours, Bricycle?
My number two is originally from the 1969 album Led Zeppelin II.
Oh, I think I have this one on my list.
By Led Zeppelin. It was covered by Tori on the Crucify EP from 1992.
Oh, I think I have it.
And the song is Thank You.
Oh, I have this song.
You do?
I do.
Uh-oh.
It's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, that's good. So this was a song that was played often on her first couple tours. And she would sometimes do a medley of this song with Whole Lotta Love. She would start with Whole Lotta Love and then lead into Thank You. And Led Zeppelin is probably, I would say, Tori's biggest influence of all.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Yeah, and she liked Joni Mitchell a lot too.
She said she used to try to play her piano like Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix. So they were kind of guides to how she approached the piano. And this song has the identical opening line to If Six Was Nine by Jimi Hendrix, which was, if the sun refused to shine.
That's a good trivia question.
Yeah. So also the line, when mountains crumble to the sea, is like, if the mountains fell in the sea, from If Six Was Nine.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's another good trivia question.
So I forgot to look up which came first. It was either Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin. Okay, I just looked, and Jimi Hendrix wrote If Six Was Nine in 1968, or released it. And Led Zeppelin's was 1969, so they were the ones who copied.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't surprising, because they kind of stole from a lot of other musicians at the time. Okay, so I'm going to play some live clips of Tori talking about the song and Led Zeppelin. So here are three little clips.
I'm a minister's daughter, and I went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. And after church, I'd have this friend, Linda Yan. She'd come over my house. She had this big parka on. She had these things under them. They were records. She'd bring them downstairs. We'd go downstairs. And I'd listen to this guy sing. And my little thing went, nee, 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 nee. We knew we were alive, and we were girls. It was the greatest thing I've ever experienced. I'm playing this because a guy backstage, he was really nice to me. And he asked me if I'd play this because I was singing this backstage. I don't know if you remember the song, but Led Zeppelin cut this song years ago, and this is a song I used to make out to. Everybody used to make out to Stairway to Heaven, but I made out to this song.
Number two.
I would still be loving you.
Thank You, originally by Led Zeppelin. So Tori finally had a dream come true when she collaborated with Robert Plant for the album Encomium, a tribute to Led Zeppelin. And they collaborated on the song Down by the Seaside, which was like an 8-minute jam between Tori and Robert. And I think I remember her saying that Robert half seriously asked her to marry him during the sessions.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that Tori wanted Robert Plant to have her virginity. I know that. She said that in one of her articles, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, but
Tori... I didn't know that she liked him that much.
Tori turned him down, of course, because that ship had sailed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on to your number two song. What is it?
Well, it was also in the soundtrack, Mona Lisa Smile. This was You Belong to Me, originally by Joe Stafford in 1952.
It's not on my list.
Okay, that's but good.
I knew this one would probably be on yours for sure.
Yeah, this one's higher because it has more meaning.
Yeah.
Because I like it a lot better. Unfortunately, Tori wasn't in the movie singing this song, but you could hear it while they did a shot of the main people talking in the lobby, but you can hear it in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, she still was in the movie, but, you know, she was just in the background singing still. But the song still reminds me of my grandma and grandpa dancing around and, you know, still dancing, being together, true love and stuff, but... It still is about a girl that's sad. It's like, you know, the guy went off to war and stuff, but she's still loving him, and she's going to love him until he comes back. But it's okay because she's going to love him anyway, and she'll always love him and wait for him. So,
yeah,
it's okay. It's a good love song.
I really like the big band sound with Tori. Because her voice really fits the era well, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
And in my opinion, I think she should have done a big band album around this time period.
That would have been a good one.
Instead of The Beekeeper?
No, I love The Beekeeper, just because you don't really like it.
Yeah, I know that's going to make people mad, but would have been good, a big band album instead of The Beekeeper.
Well, maybe the Gertrude album. What? Not Gertrude.
Oh, no.
Geraldine.
Unrepentant Geraldines.
Not Unrepentant Gertrude. I'm always getting that mixed up. All the time. Sorry. Sorry, Tori fans. Just telling you, I'm always getting it mixed up.
Gertrude and Geraldines.
Sorry. Sorry. Don't mean to get it messed up. I'll make myself get it right.
Okay, the only other time she's done this style was with Pink and Glitter, which was on the 2009 Winter Solstice album, Midwinter Graces. So here is Tiff in Your Hands, number 2, You Belong to Me.
Song too. That's a good one.
Yep. So we're moving on to my number 1 song.
So soon.
Is everybody dying of suspense?
I am. I want to know what it is.
Okay. It's originally from the 1971 Joni Mitchell album, Blue.
Ooh.
And Tori's version appeared on the UK Cornflake Girl single, Part 2. And the song is A Case of You.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, this had to be my number 1. Most people know Joni Mitchell is one of Tori's biggest influences, and she's also covered her songs River, The Circle Game, and Both Sides Now, which was an intro for Cloud on My Tongue when she did it live. And I just love the lyrics to this song. I could drink a case of you and still be on my feet. And that's funny because that lyric could go both ways, you know, like it could be used as a diss too. Like you're not knocking me down. You're not strong enough. If I drink a case of you, mm-hmm. You know, I love the lyrics too. Oh, I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paints. I'm frightened by the devil and I'm drawn to those who ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me love is touching souls. Surely you touched mine, because part of you pours out of me in these lines from time to time. And then also, I met a woman, she had a mouth like yours. She knew your devils and your deeds, and she said, go to him, stay with him, but be prepared to bleed. So this is definitely one of the best Joni Mitchell songs, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I still like River. That's a good one.
Yeah, River's awesome too.
Mm-hmm. Especially when she plays it when it's like December and snowy and Christmassy. And all nice.
Yep, I like The Circle Game too because it takes me back to childhood.
Mm-hmm.
About the painted ponies go up and down. Yeah, I remember hearing that Joni Mitchell was curating her own tribute album to herself and handpicking the artists. Do you remember that?
I do remember hearing something about that.
I don't think it ever happened, though. But I remember hearing that Sarah McLachlan's version of Blue was going to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hoping that Tori's version of A Case of You would make the record.
Yeah.
but it just never happened. So,
don't know.
I guess Tori's version wasn't up to snuff.
Guess not. No. I'd love to sit at that tea party session with both of them and see what they talk about. That could be a quite interesting meeting.
I don't know if they've ever met. Probably, though.
Probably. Probably over some tea.
Okay.
It'd be nice to hear.
Here is my number one Tori cover. It is A Case of You, originally by Joni Mitchell.
Number one. Just before I got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice.
Okay, we're finally to your number one song, the final song of the podcast.
Oh boy. Okay.
What is it?
This is Landslide from Fleetwood Mac. It originally is from the Fleetwood Mac self-titled album Fleetwood Mac, released July 11th, 1975.
I totally knew this was going to be your number one.
Oh, I always cry when I hear this song.
And that's why I didn't put it on my list or my honorable mentions, because I knew it was going to be your number one.
I love it. I love this song. I love this song. I wish it was a better recording of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, to me, the song has so many meanings, mostly growing up, coming of age. Could be she's been with someone so long or her parents so long. Now she's afraid of changing and changing her whole life around her. Her whole world is coming down around her. Something like that. Okay, now this is confession time. This is why I really love this song, and this is why it's sad.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Bricycle and I have known each other for like 22, 23 years, something like that. I lose track. Anyway, we met at Marriott. Right after high school, and he was home from his mission, Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with him. And we did everything together. We were best friends.
Yes.
And anyway, one day he told me he was gay. And I was still in love with him. And we did everything together. We went on trips to California, went to Seattle. We did our little Tory trips together, went to movies. We did everything. We even lived together for 6 months. I mean, it was great. And I was still in love with him, but I knew he was gay. I mean, I tortured myself. And I kind of built my life around him because I did everything, like, for him. I gave myself not to him, but I did everything for him, making him happy, thinking that, oh, if I did this, he might like me, or if I did this, he would like me, or, you know, kind of like doing that. And then finally one day, I don't know what it was, but I finally realized that this isn't going to happen. So it was...
Yeah, I tried to break up with you a lot of times, didn't I? Break up with you, and we were just friends.
I know, so it was kind of weird. It was a weird situation. But finally, I just got to the point where it was like, no, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. Just one day, I just decided that was it.
Yeah.
So he got a boyfriend, and I got a husband, and I got, well, now I have 2 ex-husbands, 3 kids who don't live with me because of bad divorces, and Bree has a couple ex-boyfriends, and now we're best friends, and we're doing a podcast.
On and off friends.
On and off friends. We need a break sometimes.
Yeah.
But we do things together, and we're still friends after 22, 23 years. I forget how long it is, but that's why this song is so personal to me, because I built my life around him, and, you know, things change. People move on. People grow up. So that's why I cry every time I hear this song. It's just so personal to me. It has a lot of meaning.
Yeah. Just so you know, I did tell her, like, she's the first person I came out to, and it was like 5 months after we'd met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like I strung her along or anything.
No, you didn't. I knew, so it was my own fault. But that's the story of what the song is all about to me. And that's why it's my number one song. And that's why this version of it that Bryskell is going to play, the version that she played in Colorado. If you listen to her voice, it has a lot of feeling to it, and so it's my favorite version ever that she's ever played.
Yeah.
Sometimes before Tori sings this song, she says, I play this song sometimes when I'm sad. It's not that I'm sad, I just like to be sad. So here we go. Here's Tori playing it in Colorado.
Oh, mirror, ask it, what is love?
So around this same time, Smashing Pumpkins released their version of Landslide. And then a couple years later, Courtney Love and Hole covered Gold Dust Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, the Dixie Chicks did Landslide too, but we're not talking about country music right now.
Yeah, it makes me wonder though if all of the renewed praise for Fleetwood Mac got them to reunite to do the MTV special and the album The Dance.
Oh, we remember? Went to that show.
In 97?
That show was so expensive. Oh, man.
Yeah. So they released Landslide as a single from that. And I remember Lindsey Buckingham doing Big Love on his guitar. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so amazing that we had to go see them in concert.
Yeah. Just because Tori liked him, we had to go be Tori files and like everything and...
That's not the only reason.
I know.
Stevie Nicks just appeared on an episode of American Horror Story.
As a Welsh witch. I didn't get to see that episode, though.
I haven't seen it yet either. But she's always claimed to be a witch, so that's kind of perfect for her.
Yeah, and one of the witches on there kept playing Fleetwood Mac and dancing around and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and saying that she was her idol, so that was pretty interesting there.
And there's also a version of Landslide by Tori that was recorded in studio at a radio station.
With Better Than Ezra.
What? They were on it too?
Well, yeah, because they played Tori first, and then they said, and we're better from Ezra.
Oh, that's right. It's found on the CD Y100 Sonic Sessions Volume 1. But it's not the best version.
No.
But Tori and Smashing Pumpkins released the best versions of this song.
Yes.
And we fought over which version to play. Either the Tori Stories version or the Do Drop In version. But just because the Tori Stories had better audio, that was really the only reason why.
But the other one, the Colorado version, had more feeling, so that one won out.
Yeah, because it was the last show of the Boys for Paley tour in Boulder, Colorado, so you can tell Tori's really feeling it. The end of the album cycle and on to another season of her life.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the last song. So we've made a list of just 4 honorable mentions each, so what are yours?
Mine are... Smells Like Teen Spirit, If 6 Was 9, Do It Again, and Ring My Bell.
Ring My Bell.
I love that song. Ring my bell. Ring my bell.
That was originally by Anita Ward, originally. My sisters had that record, so... We all loved it, too.
I love that song. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, so I was glad that Tori covered that song. So here are my honorable mentions. Number 1 was Angie by the Rolling Stones. That's a really good one. Number 2 was Over the Rainbow, which you already heard. Number 3 was She's Leaving Home by the Beatles.
The Beatles.
And number 4, Home on the Range, the Cherokee edition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a weird one to have.
It is?
Yeah. Vanessa loves that song.
Oh, well, it reminds me of my grandpa. So that's why. All right, that's the end of the episode. So we would like to thank you for listening, and you can like us on Facebook as the Alt Essentials Podcast, and you can contact us there. You can also subscribe via iTunes for free, and feel free to write a review. Share us with your friends, and you can also find us at altessentials.podomatic.com. So we're going to leave you with one of my honorable mentions, which is She's Leaving Home. This was originally from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles in 1967. And this version is from the Tori Stories box set from 1994, performed in Eugene, Oregon, September 12th, 1994.
And this is Tiffin, your hand, signing off, saying, and since we're down, might as well stay. Might as well fry some eggs. And
this is Bricycle saying, lock up your hats. Thanks for listening.
Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock is the tea began. Suddenly closing the bedroom door, leaving a note that she won't say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching her
And finally, a quick note regarding the use of music in this podcast. The music is the subject of the podcast, and we are claiming fair use. We are not profiting from this podcast and are only playing portions of the songs. We are promoting the music and encouraging people to go out and buy the music. So we encourage you all to go and download these songs or buy the CDs and support the artists that we all love. Thank you for listening.